when the Lord gave the feasts in Leviticus 23, they were for more than just the Israelites to observe at that time. While we are not commanded to keep the feasts and celebrating them is not necessary for salvation, during our next Facebook Live event, Dr. William R. Glaze will show how understanding the feasts will give us a deeper appreciation for this great salvation we have in Jesus Christ, and how the work of Christ is deeply rooted in these Old Testament celebrations. Tune in to Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live event Tuesday, September 18th at 7:30 p.m. You will have an opportunity to ask questions about Dr. Glaze's series, The Feasts of Israel. Looking forward to seeing you at facebook.com/ Anchored in Jesus Ministries. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude the Feast of Passover from our series titled The Feasts of Israel. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Feast of Passover.
Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal. And there's a lot of controversy as to when, what day Jesus was crucified and what day he celebrated. So, you know, I did a whole study on that, on what day was Jesus crucified. So, you know, if you want to debate that, you know, we could debate that at another time. But sometime during this week, Jesus sat down and ate the Passover meal with the disciples, and we call that the what? Last Supper. The Last Supper. What was he eating? He was eating the Passover meal, all right? Now, after they ate the Passover meal, the Bible says they sang a hymn and went out into the night. What was the hymn that they sung? I'm going to tell you exactly what hymn. You can go back and study it out. According to Jewish history, they sang Psalm 118. What, you know, during this time, they sang many psalms, but one of the psalms that they sang was Psalm 118. If you'll turn to Psalm 118, and let's look at verse 22. So this is what the disciples and Jesus would have sang before they went out into the night. And notice verse 22 where they said, "The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner." So as they're going out into the night and as they're singing, they're singing and saying, "The stone that the builders refuse has become the corner." As we look at the scripture today, we see that Jesus is identified as the stone that the builders rejected. He said himself that he was rejected. Peter said that he was the stone that was rejected. Now, there's an interesting story according to Jewish legend. And it says that whenever they built the temple, that Solomon had hired contractors, and that as they built the temple, that they sent this odd-shaped stone that didn't fit in with the rest of them. And that the contractor said, "We can't use this stone." So he threw it over the hill into a garbage dump. As they finished the temple, according to this account, they didn't have the cornerstone. And so the contractor talked to the individual who cut the stones, and he said, "Where's the cornerstone?" And he said, "I already sent it." He said, "No, we don't have a cornerstone. We put up the temple, and we don't have a cornerstone." And the guy said, "I already sent it." He said, "Well, I didn't see it." He said, "It was that odd-shaped stone." And so they had to go down into the dump. Oh, hallelujah. They had to go down into the dump, pull out the stone, the cornerstone for the temple. Man, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And so as we look at Passover, this would have been a hymn that they sang. And so Jesus knew exactly what he was singing on the night that they went out. The second thing that I want to say is that The Lord's Supper is based on the Passover. The Lord's Supper is based on the Passover. Look in your notes. It is interesting to note that there were many opportunities for those who wanted to kill Jesus to do so. We know they wanted to kill him. As a matter of fact, his disciples warned him on several occasions that he needed to watch his back because people were out to kill him. Yet the scripture informs us that they that sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him. Why? Because his hour had not come. So there are all these opportunities. Man, this is deep. I mean, this is really deep. There's all these opportunities for them to kill Jesus, but nobody could kill him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. As we go on and read, Jesus waited until when? He waited to Passover to give himself over to his enemies. That's why Jesus said, nobody takes my life. Nobody takes my life. Are you crazy? I lay it down and I take it up. I decide when I'm going to die. And so when did Jesus decide that he was going to die? He decided that he was going to die that week. And it was during what? The Passover. And so as Jesus is celebrating the Passover, let's look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. As Jesus is celebrating the Passover with his disciples, Luke chapter 22 and verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. I've decided to eat this Passover with you. Wow. Before I suffer, nobody takes my life. I lay it down and I take it up. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more of eat of it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom. And he took the cup. Where were they at? They were at Passover. They were eating the Passover. And he gave thanks. And he said this, and divided among yourselves. And he said unto, for this I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, and he took the bread and broke it and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus is at the Passover meal. He's observing Passover, where they are about to slaughter a lamb for the Passover. And Jesus takes the bread, he breaks it, and said, this is my body, which was broken for you. Man, you cannot separate communion from Passover. You can't do it. And for years, you know, we observe communion, and communion is directly tied into Passover. Even so much to the fact that Jesus waited to Passover before he offered himself up. And you know, it's interesting that the Jewish people have a tradition at the Passover Seder. They have a meal. And at the meal, they do this thing. It's called the Afikomen. Now, it's interesting because I broke this Afikomen down. Now, the Jewish people really don't understand. And if you talk to any messianic rabbi, they'll tell you this. They fully don't understand what all this means. The first thing is they have these matzahs, which is pieces of unleavened bread, and they are placed into a sack with three sections. Oh, hallelujah. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, the middle matzah is taken out, and it's what? Broken in two. Right? And then they kind of put the crumbs back in the middle section. All right. Well, what does that represent? Jesus said what? This is my what? Body, which was broken for you. The larger piece is placed. It's unbelievable. It's placed in a white linen cloth. And they put it in the white linen cloth. Well, we look at Matthew 27 and verse 59. The dead body of Jesus was wrapped in a clean linen cloth. And then what do? They take this clean linen cloth and they hide it away. They tuck it away. In John 19, 40 through 42, we see that Jesus was buried. As we go on. Now, it's up to the children to go find the hidden matzah. Well, look at Matthew 20, verses 1 through 10. John and Peter, they did what? They ran to find Jesus. They ran to the tomb where he was hid. And when it is finally found, the family get this piece of matzah and they share it among themselves. And what do? They eat it. What did Jesus say? Take, eat. This is my body that is broken for you. And then there are four cups that they drink during this time, the Seder. And one is called the cup of redemption. And you know when they drink the cup of redemption? That whenever they find the bread, then they drink the cup of redemption. Jesus died on the cross. He said, it is finished. The price to redeem sinners have been paid in full. How in the world can you miss that? How in the world can you miss that? The fact that you celebrate the Passover, all these rituals you go through during the Passover, you don't understand fully what all of it means, but yet and still, everything about this points to Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ and communion is directly tied into Passover. So that every time we take communion, we ought to have some remembrance of Passover in our heart. That's the first thing, or second thing I want to say. The third thing that I want to say is that Jesus is the Passover lamb. Jesus is the Passover lamb. Look at 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7. He says, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus himself is directly tied into Passover. If you look at your notes, you'll see. And some of this, I'm going to repeat something that I already said earlier, but let's just look at it from the standpoint of trying to understand how Christ is tied into this Passover. The reason that Jesus came to Jerusalem and rode into the city that day was to offer himself as the Lamb of God for the sins of mankind. The Lamb for the Passover was selected on the 10th of Nisan and was slaughtered on the 14th of Nisan. And we already read that in Exodus 12. Jesus rode into the city on the 10th of Nisan, the day that the lambs were selected for Passover. He was crucified on the 14th of Nisan, the same day that the lamb was put to death. The same day that the Passover lamb was put to death, the Lamb of God was put to death. There was no cheering for Jesus. There was no glory for Jesus. Man might have glorified him. Man might have lifted him up on the triumphal entry, but it was not glory for him. He came to offer himself as the sacrificial lamb. And so the crowd that day, they missed it. We're celebrating Palm Sunday. If we're looking at the palms, and we're shouting Hosanna, then we're doing the same thing that the crowd that day did. We're doing the same thing they did. Now, I don't have any problem with flowers and palms. I have no problem with that. I'm not preaching. Don't get me wrong. Now, I don't want any emails or any letters, right? I'm not preaching against it. You know, if we have palms today, I'm going to get mine and take it, right? All I'm saying is, let's understand what this meant for Jesus. Let's grab a hold of what this meant for Jesus, that he was offering himself as the Lamb of God. Look at this slide here and notice the resemblance between the Passover lamb and Christ the Lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, the Passover lamb had to be spotless. In 1 Peter 1:18, it says that Jesus was a lamb. He was a lamb without spot or wrinkle. The Passover lamb was slaughtered. In Isaiah 53, it says, whom shall we believe and whose report shall we believe? For he shall grow up before him like a tender root and like a plant out of the dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Yet and still the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The slaughtered lamb. Jesus is the slaughtered lamb. And then the lamb in the book of Exodus was a substitute. When they put the blood over the doorpost, that God would pass over and spare the people in that home. And Christ is our substitutionary lamb. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That Jesus, when he died, he took away the sin of the world. I was reading a very interesting story about a church in Germany. And there were some tourists at the church. And they were shocked to see on the bell tower that there was an engraving of a lamb. And so they asked somebody, why was this lamb engraved in the bell tower? And the pastor responded that when the bell tower was being constructed, one of the workers fell from the bell tower. And his co-worker, thinking for sure that he had died, rushed down to get him. And when he got down there, he just found the man laying on the ground in very little pain. And what had happened, how did this man survive? At the time he fell, there was a flock of sheep walking by. And the man fell on one of the sheep, crushing the sheep and killing the sheep. But the man's life was saved. So as a memorial, they put a sheep, an insignia of a sheep in the bell tower to always keep in mind that this man's life was saved because a lamb died. I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, you are on a free fall on your way to hell. You were falling quick, fast, and in a hurry. And when you hit hell, you were going to split it wide open. And the Lamb of God just happened to be coming by. And you fell on him, and he was crushed. But yet still, you have eternal life. Praise God for the Lamb. Thank God for the Lamb this morning. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when I was lost and undone, without God and his Son, I was falling. I was going down, and the Lamb broke my fall. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. The Lamb of God, that he not only broke my fall, but the Bible said that John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God. And that word in the Greek over there where it says take it away, it means to lift it up and take it away. That when Jesus died on the cross, he lifted the sin off of me, and he took it away, buried it in the deepest sea. As I've said here time and time again, this is not original with me, but I sure do quote it a whole lot, that Jesus cast our sins in the deepest sea, and then he posted a sign that said, no fishing. Amen. Amen. The Lamb of God. This is why Passover is so important. This is why we can't disassociate Easter. And as a matter of fact, I'm even thinking about, for me, I don't even call it Easter anymore. When I think about it, now sometimes I slip and say it, I say resurrection. I say resurrection. You say Easter, I say resurrection. Again, because if you look at Easter, actually the term is connected with pagan ritual. So I'm just saying that. You can call it Easter. God, you're not going to go to hell. You're not going to go to hell. All right, so I'm saying that. But I say happy resurrection. I say happy resurrection. See, again, you know, what is the world? If you go back and do the history, search the history of Easter, and you'll see what's associated with Easter is bunny rabbits, eggs, fertility. You know, all that is associated with Easter. All right? So let's you know, again, I'm you know, saints. Yeah, there you go. There you go. I'm just saying, you know, Easter is a term that was given by man. It was given by the church. All right? So we look at our calendars, we see Easter on there. But actually, for us, it's a resurrection. And that's what I celebrate, the resurrection. So maybe we need to change the service instead of Easter service, resurrection. I'm just kidding. Oh, I know I'm getting in trouble this morning. And the fact is that this is being taped on television, so it's going far beyond here. Whew. All right, let me close. Let me close before I get in any more trouble today. And so finally, we see that Jesus is the eternal Lamb. Jesus is the eternal Lamb. When we look at this Lamb, we see that Isaac asked the question in Genesis 22:7, where is the Lamb? When Abraham was getting ready to offer a sacrifice and he was put his son on the altar, Isaac said, where is the Lamb? John the Baptist said, watch the Lamb. He said, behold, when Jesus came, watch, there he goes right there. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the people in the book of Revelation, the angels shouted, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. As I close this morning, let me read something to you. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. He followed her to school one day, which was even in the rule. It made the children laugh and play to have a lamb at school. And then all the rules changed one day. Illegal it became to bring the Lamb of God to school or even speak his name. Every day got worse and worse, and days turned into years. Instead of hearing children laugh, we heard gunshots and tears. What must we do to stop the crime that's in our schools today? Let the Lamb come back to school and teach us how to pray. Amen. Let the Lamb come back. The Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of the Feast of First Fruits from our series titled The Feasts of Israel. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Feast of Passover, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Passover. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Passover. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.